this is Jan from Minnesota.
Hi, Jan. I think it's just me and you so far, Sis. I haven't heard Miss Gretchen
yet. We're the earliest one, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
And you're
yes,
Mitch,
ma'am.
Uh-huh.
Yes, ma'am.
Where are you
Mitch,
from?
Ma'am. I'm in Jacksonville.
Oh, I see.
Jacksonville, mm-hmm. Florida. I'm sorry. I'm in Jacksonville,
yeah,
Florida.
Uh-huh.
Yes, ma'am. Sorry. Yes, ma'am. You doing good tonight?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
Fantastic. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Nice rainy afternoon.
Oh, that's great. We're expecting snow.
Oh, goodness. Goodness gracious. What a blessing.
And cold.
And cold, yes, ma'am. Yeah, we're not too bad. I think we're like 49 right now here in Jacksonville.
Oh,
it's a little bit cooler tonight.
Mm. My sister lives up north from Minnesota, and I think it was 30 below one time this winter.
Holy moly, my goodness. Holy moly.
I know. I don't know how they survive.
No, ma'am, I can't imagine. Like, I've never been in that kind of a cold.
No, well, I haven't either, really. I wouldn't go outside if I were.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I've never had dealt with that kind of stuff at all. Never.
No.
I've been in the 20s a couple times, but just barely touching
uh-huh.
it.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if I can stand that.
Well, you have make more sense.
Oh, well, I'm at 43 right now. I'm looking at my clock now, 43.
Oh, that's pretty good. There. Pretty good.
Yeah, not too bad. I'm fixing to head south. I'm heading to Orlando here just as soon as I get this trailer here dropped. I'm dropping a trailer here now. I just picked up a trailer full of T-shirts. And then I got to go to Orlando, take a trailer that's going to Fort Lauderdale down to Orlando.
Wow. Is that a long drive?
A little bit warmer. Yeah, it'll be a little bit warmer.
Is it a long drive?
Yes, ma'am. Probably about 3.5-4-hour drive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
About 3.5-4 hours. Not too bad. Yes, ma'am. And then I got to come back to Jacksonville. So 3 hours down, 3 hours back, or 3.5 down, 3.5 back.
Wow.
Five, something like that. Yes, ma'am. It's a short night. There you go.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And then you
not
can
too bad.
Catch this the conference as you go, right?
Yes, ma'am. There you go. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's what I do. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, tie in.
Yeah,
and
that's great.
In.
Yeah.
Stretching in. Where'd you say you're at?
Minnesota.
Okay. There she is.
Hello. How's the family tonight? Air hugs, everybody.
Oh. Hey, Gretchen.
Hello,
fantastic,
hot everybody.
Fantastic.
Woo-hoo!
Everything okay?
That's right. Yay. Everything is well. When I was dialing in, you know, God's not good. He is very good. And I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah. So I guess everybody can say hi. I think Mitch, Claudia, Jan, who else is on? Well, okay. I know more people are coming in. And also, before I begin, I wanted to apologize for going so late. So this week, we're going to use one of Pastor Vicki's teachings. It's fabulous. It's going to be a two-week teaching. So we're going to do a little praying tonight after this first part, and then next week's going to be the real 1-2 punch. So I guess
great.
I'm just go ahead and get us started unless someone has something they'd like to say. Or how about if one of you guys would pray for us, and then I'll mute the line and get started. How's that? Any takers?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Oh, what did I just agree to?
Just opening our line in prayer and welcoming the Father to our meeting, I suppose.
Oh, I'll give it a shot. I might not be quite with the program the same way you guys are.
It's okay.
Dear Heavenly Father on high, we welcome you into our group, as we know that where two or more are gathered in your name, you are in our midst. So please join us, and please shelter us and show us your ways, your wisdom, and your love.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I'm going to go ahead and mute the line. Be right back. Okay, welcome everyone to Spirit Mind Body Connection, a sister ministry to Freedom's Way Ministries. Again, this is coming to you, a teaching by Vicki Burdett, and our topic tonight is Leviathan. So before we begin, Father, I just thank you and praise you for everyone in the sound of my voice. I thank you, Father, that I don't have to do the teachings. I get to, and what a very privilege it is. Lord, again, we do welcome you into our midst, but we command any unclean thing that would come against your people, anything that would speak to them or lie to them as this topic is going forth, we bind and break your power and command you to begin to loosen and completely break away by the end of the evening in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Praise the Lord. So tonight we're going to take a deep dive into God's Word and hopefully give you a better understanding of this spirit of Leviathan, or what most of the Christian world considers synonymous with a spirit of pride. And, you know, that's certainly true, although we believe that Leviathan is all that, but it's even more. Prideful actions and attitudes, you know, those are dead works that need repentance. They are the vehicle that Leviathan most often uses to destroy the things most precious to us, our relationships with each other, and even our relationship with God Himself. When those relationships break down, it often results in a breakdown of our ministry. You know, we lose our purpose in God. But there's often a breakdown in our bodies as well. We lose health, mental, physical, or emotional, really, or any combination, or all of them together. You know, so with that in mind, it makes sense to understand this very destructive enemy, to learn how to recognize Leviathan, how he operates in our lives, and most importantly, how we can defeat him. You know, and for those of you who think you'll be free of Leviathan after this teaching or after the next two teachings, and you won't ever be bothered by him again, well, I'm sorry you feel that way, but that's not the way that this thing works. Although we will pray deliverance from Leviathan, don't be deceived into thinking that he will not be back again to tempt you, because just like that spirit of unforgiveness, Leviathan will linger around waiting for an open door. You know, we have the challenging opportunity every day to forgive someone, and we have the more challenging opportunity every day to wear the mantle of humility and not take it off, even when things get hot around us. So that being said, let's get started. Now, according to Scripture, Leviathan is a serpent-like creature. And the word itself means a wreathed creature, implying an encircling. It's a sea monster, a crocodile, and a constellation of the dragon. It's also a symbol of Babylon. So we immediately see here a star or a ruling prince, i.e. principality, and a marine demon as well. So Babylon is a type of Satan, a type of sin. The root word in Hebrew from which the word Leviathan springs means to twine, unite, and remain. In other words, twine, unite, remain. So this spirit wraps itself around its victim like the python one we talked about. It creates a bond and stays put. So is it any wonder that we have a problem with pride? You know, that we have truly become one with it. It's part of what we believe is our core being. You know, but that is a straight up lie, because we were created in the very image and likeness of God. Very good. You know, and God is love. So our core being really is love and humility. It's not selfishness and pride. Satan's core nature is pride and fear. When Adam disobeyed God, Satan's nature of pride and fear joined mankind and perverted our God-given nature of love and humility. So it twisted the love that we were meant to express outwardly and turned it inward. I'm going to say that again for somebody out there, okay? So we were created in the very image and likeness of God. We were created very good, and God is love. Therefore, we are the image of love. So our core being is love and humility. It's not pride. But Satan's core being is pride and also fear. And when Adam disobeyed God, Satan's nature of pride and fear joined mankind forth from within and perverted and turned God, our God-given nature of love and humility. It twisted the love that we were meant to express outwardly and turned it inward. So again, this is a huge source of that unclean, unloving spirit that not only tells you you did something wrong, but that you are something wrong. It turns inward, okay? So Leviathan is the primary reason we have such a hard time coming out of ourselves and giving up our rights. So let's briefly go back to this idea of the crocodile. Now, the crocodile was one of the gods worshipped by the Egyptians, who were a very prideful people, and in large part, they were proud because of the wealth they built through commerce. The Nile River, that native home of the crocodile, played a major part in wealth accumulation, and it was the vehicle for Egyptian commerce. So the people made sacrifices to their crocodile gods for safe passage. You'll remember that Egypt is also a type of Satan's bondage and sin. So when you're in the clutches of Leviathan, you are truly in bondage. Now, a lot of people do not recognize the bondage of Leviathan. They just know that their lives are falling apart, or maybe they can't maintain a relationship, or maybe they have a hard time making friends, maybe they can't keep a good job, or maybe they're angry and resentful and they just don't know why. You know, discontent, murmuring and complaining, these all go along with this spirit. So you'll find a lot of criticism and judgment going on too. Think of that stronghold of accusation. You know, Leviathan just opens the door for just about everything else. And it's because of this that some deliverance ministers consider Leviathan a manifestation of Satan himself. You know, in a way that's true. It is Satan's nature. It's not ours. And it's certainly not God's that rises us up and separates us one from another. So again, we're going to take a deep dive into scripture now. If you'd like to take notes, the references to Leviathan are Job chapter 21, Psalm 104, verses 25 and 26, Isaiah 27:1, and Psalm 74, 13 and 14. There's also a passage in Ezekiel 29, verses 3 to 5, that mentions a great monster who lives in the midst of his rivers. And in Greek mythology, this is the god of chaos. And I think this is also Leviathan. So when we consider the spiritual meaning of rivers, of seas, and of waters, we can see that Leviathan is in the midst of the people of God. Leviathan's in our very hearts, working in our lives, working in the church, and working in the whole sea of humanity. Psalm 74:14 refers to the heads, multiple heads, of Leviathan, which indicates that Leviathan could refer to the Hydra of Greek mythology and be the source of recurring curses. And, you know, we can't go through all these scriptures, so we just encourage you to dig through them in your own time with your Strong's Concordance in hand, and get the true and deep meaning. I use an app called eSword for electronic sword. It's completely free. I use the King James for word study. It's a word for word translation, not a thought for thought translation. And you can also get it where it's called KJV Plus. So the Strong's words are embedded in the scripture, so you just highlight your cursor, tells you what the word means, and it's very, very helpful for the true and deep meaning of the Word of God. So we do want to read Job 41, so if you want to follow along in your book, you can grab your Bible. We're going to look at some of the characteristics of this beast, Leviathan. And I want you to keep in mind that God himself is speaking here. Job 41, he's speaking to Job. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which you let down? Can you put a hook into his nose or bore a jaw through with a thorn? So here God is asking Job, can you pierce this monster that has you in its power? Like, can you subdue the slander and the accusation? Can you drown this thing? Or fish hook it, or find a soft spot in it, you know? And as you study each word of this chapter, if there is a root word, and if your Strong's definition says root word from, and then it gives you another Strong's number, then you just put your cursor right there and you look up that word till you get to the core. So, for example, hook in verse 1 and hook in verse 2 that I just read, they're two different Hebrew words. So if it says to compare to another word, then you just go ahead and do that compare. That's how you can do a word study very well. But we'll just start again with Job. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook or his tongue with a cord which you let down? Can you put a hook into his nose or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make supplications unto you? Will he speak soft words to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him for a servant forever? Will you play with him as with a bird, or will you bind him for your maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? So God's saying, okay, Job, are you going to allow this thing to entreat you with its lies, to bend in kindness to one that is inferior? You are no match for Leviathan, Job. Are you going to continue to covenant with him and use the spirit secretly? And if you do, then guess what? Then his companions, those other nasty spirits that are gang related, they will draw strength from Leviathan and merchandise in your soul. So you're getting a picture here that Leviathan is very subtle and deceptive. We'll continue with Job 41, verse 7. Can you fill his skin with barbed irons or his head with fish spears? Lay your hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. So when you study these words, I believe God is saying it, that when we can't defeat, I believe that what God is saying is that we can't defeat Leviathan on our own. Only the hand of God, only the power of God can overcome this spirit. And it's really only as we submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And when we remember that the battle is the Lord's, then we can move in the overcoming power of God to destroy Leviathan. Let's go back to the word, Job 41, verse 9. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Who has prevented me or gone before me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. So, just a side note, if you think you can battle this thing on your own, you are, again, believing a lie. You know, you can be so dazzled by Leviathan that you won't even dare wake him up when he's asleep. So when you can't even stand before Leviathan, God is saying, how do you expect to stand before me? Because no one has preceded me. Leviathan wasn't first, and I owe him nothing. And I am not going to so much as scratch his itch. So
we're going to go to these next verses where God describes Leviathan and his strength. Again, I encourage you to look up each word and go to the root of it. And you will find that Leviathan is a fearful creature, so prideful that the very breath of life cannot penetrate his hardness. And you'll also see that he is very beautiful and emits a false light. So in other words, when you are in league or in covenant with Leviathan, you're actually believing that you're walking in the light and you're doing the right thing. Leviathan causes a raging anger, a burning fire that cannot be quenched, the counterfeit of the all-consuming fire of our living God. Job 41, starting in 13. Who can discover the face of his garment? Or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? For his teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. Not one is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered or separated. By his sneezes, a light does shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Think of the fire-breathing dragon. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goes smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindled coals, and a flame goes out of his mouth. In his neck remains strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. So, you know, this is a clear picture of that obstinate attitude and a hard heart. And, you know, where it says that sorrow is turned to joy, it doesn't mean an exchange of joy for sorrow. What that means is that sorrow leaps forth before him. Back to the word, verse 23. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is firm as a stone, yes, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. And when he raises up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings, they purify themselves. So, you know, when this spirit of Leviathan manifests, even those with the power of God fail and they're ruined before the strength of this thing. You know, they miss the mark, they commit sin, and they have to come to repentance, you know, and hopefully quickly. Verse 26, the sword of him that lays at him cannot hold, the spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteems iron as straw and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble, and darts are counted as stubble. He laughs at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him, and he spreads sharp pointed things upon the mire. He makes the deep to boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. And he makes a path to shine after him. You know, one would think the deep to be hoary. That's white from all that light. Upon earth, there is not his like who is made without fear. He, beholding all high things, he is a king over all the children of pride. So, you know, we see here that Leviathan has no respect for God. He fabricates situations and circumstances pertaining to God so that they make him appear to be God, a counterfeit. And he looks for everything arrogant. Any person who exalts himself will be subject to Leviathan, at least the testing of it. So those little feelings of superiority that we hold in our hearts, you know, they need to go. So now that we have a more clear picture of the biblical Leviathan, let's see how he operates. So the first, again, and always the first, is separation. Separation is a primary modus operandi. Leviathan works to separate and to divide husbands and wives, to divide close friends, church assemblies, ministry workers, you from yourself, even God's people from God. You know, he just ruins relationships. He works in all prideful environments and carries an attitude of superiority, haughtiness, boasting, and arrogance, which he infects believers with those same attitudes, targeting both individual believers as well as groups of believers. You know, he wants us to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. And in doing so, we may come against even other ministries that are advancing the kingdom of God. So, in other words, Leviathan can and does have us fighting with each other instead of our true enemy. You know, and I'm reminded that we wrestle not against flesh and bone, but against the sin that dwells within and the principalities, those invisible beings who war against us all. You know, Leviathan promotes self and self-serving agendas with thoughts like, who do they think they are? They don't move in the power of God like I do. Or who gives them the right to speak into my life or to tell me what to do? But when God uses us, you know, we have to be especially careful not to fall into a false confidence or to play the name game or to compare ourselves to others, because that's what Egypt did. Egypt trusted in its commercial success in the waterways. It was a false confidence in prosperity and status rather than intimacy with God. So, you know, we see Leviathan will seduce us and draw us out of that secret place of intimacy with God. And when that happens, there's a good chance that we'll be promoted ahead of God's timing, and then we move into a place where we're depending on our own gifts and abilities rather than only the Holy Spirit. So, you know, we know of more than one person who has had a call in their lives, and the call was even confirmed by words of prophecy, but they jumped on ahead of God, and they were really ruined. So remember that God's perfect plan has God's perfect timing, not ours. We are not in control. So if we fall to the seduction of Leviathan, we can end up ministering without even consulting the Lord. You know, we just forge ahead in our own natural talents and our own knowledge. And, you know, the ministry ball will just keep rolling for a while, but sooner or later it will hit a wall. So, you know, we want to avoid becoming one of these sons of pride by always remaining broken before the Lord, needing salvation, you know, realizing that He and He alone is the deliverer. He's the healer. He's the savior. He's the prophet. He's the teacher. There is nothing, I mean, absolutely nothing that we can do in our own strength. Praise God for that. Thank you, Father. So let's go to Proverbs 6. And then in Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19, we also find a pretty good synopsis of how Leviathan works and how he attacks believers. So, you know, this is important. So we're going to go to Proverbs 6, 16. These six things does the Lord hate. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speak lies. And he that sows discord among brethren. So we've already been talking about the first one, that proud look, which is that spirit of pride. And, you know, there are many attitudes that Scripture defines as prideful issues that we really need to deal with. And we're going to take a look at some of them this week tonight. So we've already said, you know, that we're not to think highly of ourselves. And when we do, it can lead to a condescending attitude towards others in or out of the body of Christ. And when we catch ourselves thinking less of someone else than we think of ourselves, especially when it comes to spiritual things, we need to repent quickly, you know, because God's heart on that is no secret. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 10, being kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but consent to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So we want to begin to recognize and break agreement with all condescending attitudes towards our brothers and sisters in Christ, towards other ministries, other denominations, other pastors and teachers, whoever. You know, remember what Paul said, that when you think you know something, it's the very time to realize that you don't know anything as you ought to know it. Another attitude promoted by Leviathan is that of independence. You know, we're not and we're never meant to be alone or go it alone. And when we begin to think that we just need to be out there doing our own thing, you know, we're forgetting we need to be connected to the body of Christ. So even though we all have different functions, we all have different ministries, and we may go about things differently, we are all to be united in heart as one. Having an independent attitude is prideful. And that's why we encourage all of you to hook up with a local church and to put yourself under authority, because if you do want to move in authority in the spirit realm, you have to be under authority in the natural realm. Just give Vicki or I a call, freedom@freedomswayministries.com. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And, you know, while we're talking about authority, another prideful attitude is to dishonor authority. So when we think or say that we could bring a better message than the preacher did, or that he just wasn't in the flow of the Holy Spirit, or take other jabs at those in any kind of leadership, we are in danger of becoming children of pride. And the same thing is true about your workplace and, truthfully, your politics. You know, bad-mouthing your boss is a prideful attitude besides being a dumb thing to do. And a sure way to lose your job is to talk about how stupid the boss is, because, believe me, he's smarter than you at that point. And that's God, because God sets up kings and he takes them down. And that goes for ministries and their leaders. That goes for governments and their leaders. It goes for businesses and their leaders. You know, we're to honor and we are to esteem those in authority, even when they are not under the control or the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I mean, think about King David and King Saul. You know, David respected Saul's position as king of Israel, even though David himself had been anointed to be king. Saul was still sitting on the throne, and David honored that. Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So, you know, maybe repent for all your let's go Brandons, or, you know, Ho and Joe go. It's not the time and it's not godly. It's Leviathan, and it is Kraken. Titus 3, 1 and 2. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. You know, there are a few desires that we may experience that also stem from or indicate prideful attitudes. When we desire to be served rather than to serve, it's pride, because it's a self-serving attitude. And, you know, that self-serving attitude can cause us to adopt an entitlement mentality where we believe that someone else's time or their money or attention is owed to us. We're thinking about what we can get out of the situation or experience rather than what we can add to it. And this is where a lot of people get off track about churches, because we should go to church to minister to the Lord and to add our faith to the corporate faith. You know, you go for what we can give, not for what we can get. A second prideful desire is that of reputation. You know, we want people to know that we're doing what we're doing and esteem us for it. And that's a really a big trap. And it's a really hard to see. Jesus, though, was a servant, and he was a man of no reputation in his heart, and we are called to be the same. Matthew 20, verses 26 to 28. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Philippians 2:7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Desiring to be noticed and to have a reputation goes hand in hand with another action that invites pride, and that is boasting about our accomplishments or the revelations that God has shared with us. This is a noticeable outward sign of an inward attitude of pride, and it leads to another prideful attitude, which is self-glory. Now, we're not saying it's not good to enjoy the giftings and the blessings that God has given us or to stop working his work. But we have to be careful not to think that when we are used by God, that it's because of some greatness in ourselves that he's using us. Praise the Lord. Everything we have is a gift of God's grace on our lives, and all worship must be returned to Him, to the one who gave the gift. You know, we can never glory in our own righteousness or claim a gift of God as our own doing or even belonging to us. Our righteousness is filthy rags, and all good and perfect gifts are from God. And it is He that made us, and not we ourselves. Jeremiah 45:5. And seek you great things for yourself? Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, says the Lord, but your life will I give unto you for a prey in all places where you go. Isaiah 64:6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities have taken us away. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Psalm 100:3. Know you that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. 2 Corinthians 10:12-13. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. Praise God. All right, another desire that is a deep pit is the desire to control others. When God has promoted us and given us a position of authority, or when He's used us in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we may begin to believe that we can use our position of favor for personal gain or selfish ambition. This kind of prideful attitude, the "I'm more spiritual and important than you, so you have to follow me and do what I say" attitude, that's a dead work. And it will not stand up in eternity. It will be revealed at the judgment seat of Christ by fire, and it will be consumed. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. We can also have a kind of self-confidence that is harmful and is in fact a prideful attitude. And that's when we begin to feel a confidence that we can, in our own abilities, produce the anointing and the fruit of the kingdom of God. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit is grieved. Now, this kind of attitude leads to a self-sufficiency where we have a lack of time to be in the presence of God. You know, we may no longer feel the need for all that we have and all we are to flow from His presence and counsel, and we become self-ruled. And when that happens, it won't be long until we're asking God to bless what we have started. And, you know, this will also lead to critical and condemning attitudes and thoughts. We are once again putting ourselves, our thoughts, our ways of doing things above others. If we are to reflect our Lord, we have to have a humble spirit and the heart of a servant. Ephesians 4:29-31. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of the other. That was Galatians 5:14-15. So, Lord, we ask you to search our hearts and convict us of our prideful attitudes and actions. And Father God, give us your gift of repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, that we may escape from the snare of the devil and never again be taken captive by him at his will. Help us walk in humility, Lord, and to reflect the love that you meant for us to express in the earth. And Father, as we continue this study on the spirit of Leviathan, we ask that you bind this devil from operating in our lives, and we use the authority that you have given us to trample over serpents and over scorpions and we take the sword of the Spirit of God and sever the tail of Leviathan, that he cannot retaliate against any of your people who are submitting themselves under your hand. Lord, keep us in your will and in your way, Lord, as we declare our allegiance to you. We line ourselves up in agreement with you, Father, in the course of destiny that you have written for us from before even the foundation of the world, so that those lines fall to us in pleasant places. And we thank you, Father God, for your heart of humility, and teach us daily how to have that same heart towards all people in all situations. In Jesus' name we pray, forgiving all who have brought offense against us. Amen. So the time is 9:30. I want to thank you for joining us. I also would, most of our deliverance we're going to do after the teaching next week. And again, this is not my teaching, it's Vicki's teaching. I did, however, pull together a list of spirits that, just looking for a picture of Leviathan to use for a little picture that I did. So let's do some that just came up off the top of my head. Well, not off, that just came to us to do deliverance on. So please repeat after me. Again, remember, only God can tame and deliver, that Leviathan is God's servant forever. The battle is the Lord's, the victory is ours. So we are just going to submit ourselves to him. We're going to repent for any time that either we or our generations before us have participated with this spirit of pride and Leviathan, and really just separation, and ask God to deliver us of that influence from our hearts. So please repeat after me. Again, if you do feel anything, or you're manifesting, coughing, yawning, burping, are all very common, don't go into any fear over manifesting. Just hang in there. It's just trying to put you in fear so it doesn't leave. But God wants you free. So just, you know, keep saying, I don't want this, and off it goes. Praise the Lord. So everyone repeat after me, please. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I recognize, I take responsibility, I repent for my participation with Leviathan and everything I name, and my generations, both sides, all the way back to Adam, for participating with any unclean spirit I will name. And I ask that you cancel the curse. I receive the reverse of the curse. I receive your blessing, Lord. And I receive deliverance, victory, and overcoming strength in Jesus' name. I repent and renounce participating with Leviathan, the spirit of Leviathan. Tiamat. Ouroboros. The devil. I repent for participating with the serpent, the dragon, the fallen angel of light, Baphomet, envy, chaos, and chaos magic, Rahab, Babylon. I repent for participating with a seducing spirit of control, accusation, occultism, and blasphemy. I repent for participating with the Kraken. And I just want to say, you know, that's been a common thing. It came out November 14th, 2020. Sidney Powell released the Kraken. If you look it up, it was from a book from Thomas Hobbes in 1651. Kraken stands for an autocratic monarch or state, which really is fascism. It's again part of that national rebellion in releasing the Kraken. So if any of you have participated in that, you can do that so your children also are free. Praise the Lord. So again, I repent for Kraken. I repent for a false illumination or a fascination with evil. I repent for the water dragon, the spirit of Dagon, Neptune, the spirit of the West, which is what Anton LaVey, the Satanist, called the spirit of Leviathan. Also, he called it the four-crowned prince of hell. So repent for the four-crowned prince of hell. Praise the Lord. And again, all personal and generational spirits that are tied to Leviathan that have not been named, that God wants me free of tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Okay, everyone, you did a good job for breaking that legally here in this dimension. Now it's my turn. Give me one second here.
Thank you, Father.
Praise the Lord. If I, by the Spirit of God, cast out devils, know this, the kingdom of God is come unto you, Father. I recognize that you receive all the glory. I can't heal a fly with a toothache. I cannot deliver anyone, but you, Lord, can do all things, and I trust you. So in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come in the flesh, I take authority over Leviathan, this principality and power of pride and rebellion, seduction and occultism. I say, the Lord rebuke you through me. I command the strong man of Leviathan to step aside, and I speak to every overlord and underling, line up, get ready to go, because you are going to have to leave God's people. I command the spirit of Leviathan up and out in Jesus' name. I speak to Tiamat, Kraken, Ouroboros up and out in Jesus' name. I call out the devil. Devil, up and out. Who do you think you are to come against the children of God. I rebuke you in Christ's stead and command you to flee from everyone in the sound of my voice. In the name of Jesus, I come against every serpent spirit. I tread on you and trample on you and crush your head. Go and lick the dust on your way. I speak to the dragon. I speak to Baphomet, the spirit of envy, chaos, chaos magic. The Lord rebuke you. I speak to sigil magic, everything that is attached to Leviathan that has been unleashed against the people of God. Stop, cease, desist in Jesus' name. I call you up and out now. And I thank you, Father, for that privilege in the mighty name of Jesus. I come against every fallen angel, every spirit or spirit guide that has been manifesting as pride or anything mentioned in the teaching or anything that God knows that you can stand against. And together we command that thing to leave you now, leave your heart, leave your mind, leave your belly in Jesus' name. And I come and pull down every accusation that has been written against you. I blot it out from this dimension and I give you back a clean slate. Woo, that's right. In the mighty name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of Rahab. I come against the spirit of Kraken, of fascism, of Christofascism, of rebellion. I don't care what your name is. You are a liar and a divider. And we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but with you. So get up and get out of here and take all your diseases with you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and I come against and destroy every spirit of occultism that comes as a false, beautiful light, every spirit that has you fascinated with evil and worshiping evil. Get up, get out now in Jesus' name, and I close every portal and every door that comes in through gaming, social media, or movies in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for the name above every name. And in that name, I speak to the water dragon, the spirit of Dagon, that water spirit of Neptune, spirit of the West, and you four-crowned prince of hell. Who do you think you are to come against these people? The Lord rebuke you. I place a hook in your nose and a thorn in your jaw. I pierce you and I speak air be between the scales. Scales be separated asunder and hearts of stone become hearts of flesh. In Jesus' name. Father, as these people go again, I speak to anything that would retaliate against your people. I thank you that the tails of Leviathan are severed. They cannot retaliate. And I thank you, Father, that as we submit ourselves unto you, as we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, it is then that we are in rest in our souls. Thank you, everyone, for joining me tonight. I'm going to open the line up here in just a minute, but I just want to bless the people of God and fill up every empty space where those things have left. So, Father, as we close tonight, I ask that you fill up your people, every place where a spirit has left, where they have been wounded or harmed or even just deceived. Father, I pray in that mighty name of Jesus that you would bless your people and keep them and make your face shine upon them and be gracious unto them and give them, Lord, your peace. And I pray that in the name of the Prince of Peace, again, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Opening the line. Talk to you soon. Here we go. Okay, if anyone would like to make a comment or have a question, you can hit your star 6 key. You'll have to do that to unmute yourself. If I can't hear you, again, star 6 to be heard. Don't feel obligated to say anything either if you don't feel like it. We'll be back next week with part 2. We will be severing the 7 heads of the Hydra, which is tied into that serpent in in the book of Revelation. It should be interesting.
Okay, I was going to ask, are there any, I know you mentioned so many things here, but I was wondering if there were any particular diseases that are associated with this oppression or things that we need to repent for.
Okay, well, probably I would say it would fall under the envy and jealousy profile. Because as you go through the, you know, Job, it keeps talking and comparing it to envy, and, you know, envy is a huge root. Mm-hmm. It's hard, though, because Leviathan's pretty much every, you know, it's a lot of things. It includes bitterness, it includes accusation, and so anything that's going to, and then everyone's different, too. So I would say, if you have a disease profile and you're interested in the roots of what that is, just write me. You can reach me at spiritmindbodyconnection@gmail.com.
Okay, I have looked
Let me
for that
disease and probably look that up. The website spiritmindbodyconnection.com, and then you can click through there. You might be able to.
I looked at that, and there are so many on the list, and none of them identifies, I think, with you. How do I get that? Spirit, mind, and body connection at Gmail.
There's no and. It's just spirit, mind, body connection.
Oh, okay.
@gmail is my email.
Okay. I'll try that again. I was just wondering in particular about anemia and low iron. Is that this is someone I need to pray for or have prayer for?
Well, I'm not looking at those lists and things in my computer, but it's a blood issue.
Yeah.
So blood. Okay. So we know that it's a blood issue, and blood usually is, again, there's a separation of love and relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the healing place takes place, is to get them out of conflict and to bring some kind of resolution to whatever that is going on that broke their heart.
Boy, that's a big one, isn't it?
It's huge, and you can't, only God can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You show up,
that isn't, you know, excuse me.
Go ahead.
That's in our family line, I believe. My father died from a blood disease, actually two autoimmune blood diseases. But I think there's another one in our family that is showing signs, and I don't want to say it to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, so that might be the deep loss of a love object or a life goal. Again, it's a loss. It's a grief.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Usually there is a scripture I'd like you to start using while you're praying. I don't know where it is, but God says, "I will cleanse the blood that I have not cleansed."
Ooh.
And so by faith, you can activate the cleansing of your bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Father, I just speak that right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would cleanse the blood that you have not yet cleansed. And we call that forth as a creation in the earth. And we activate it by faith that works through love. Father, let love abound. Let health abound. And I ask that you would balance the platelets, the white cells, and the red cells, and the T cells, and the B cells, that you would bring balance, and that these people would not just survive, but that they would, in love, thrive. And I ask that in the name of Jesus.
Thank you very much. Oh, boy. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Just keep loving and working on the forgiveness of those unresolved conflicts and just walking out that, remember, that fight or flight. So it's just natural. It's kind of more of the fight of the flight response when you're getting into some of those, but it's really the way it got, like I had mentioned, how that thing gets perverted and turns inward, and that's a way that the disease is manifesting.
Oh my goodness. This is a young 26-year-old girl, woman. Okay. And you said that from your website, then I can write to you? Or is it like a prayer request?
Mm-hmm. Yep, there's a prayer request page. Yes.
Okay.
Well, thank you for joining us. We'll be back again for next Friday, and then every Monday, Vicki, who wrote the teaching, and her husband, Phil, do the line. They're doing a different series on Mondays. And then every weekday morning, we start at 7:15 a.m. And we all read the word together and stuff, too. So you're welcome to do that. Anyone at all is welcome to join us or not.
Thank you very much. Is that the same
number? Same access code.
Number. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. That's Monday through Friday. So thank you. Is there anyone else that has a question or a comment out there? I promised I wouldn't keep everyone terribly late. Okay. Well, then I look forward to communicating with you through email. And
all right.
My name is Gretchen, and I'm very happy, and I'm just honored, Lord. So thank you so much, Father, for giving us your spirit and the gift of humility. I thank you and praise you, Father, that we walk with you and talk with you in the cool of the day, and not just then, but all day. For you have made this world not just good, but very good. Thank you for being our God. We are your grateful people. Thank you very much, one and all. Again, we'll be back next week. Until then, God bless you all.
Air hugs. Good night, everyone.
Right. Thank you, Gretchen, very much.
Jim.
Good night.
Thank you, Gretchen. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, good night. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for Miss Gretchen. She's such a precious lady. Thank you. Thank you for all the teaching.
Amen. Amen.
Good night. God bless.
Thank you for being
good night.
Here. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, Gretchen. Love you.
Thanks, Claudia. Bye, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.